This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wanted to remind you, the 50-minute mark, which we passed, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. And our thanks to Tyler Kennedy for coming in. And Tyler, of course, really good background stories about Mike Lang and so many people who are going to join us today. Steve Blass, we have coming on at 11:35. Greg Brown, 12:35. Jay Coffey will be here at noon. We'll be talking about just the lasting legacy of Mike Lang. In the meantime, I wanted to offer up an opportunity for you to call at 412-928-9370, and a lot of people have done just that. So let's go out to Ryan in New Jersey. Hello, Ryan. How are you today?
Hey, Bob. I just kind of wanted to say what my personal attachment to the Pens was from my perspective and how Mike Lang kind of ties into that. So in early 1990, my father contracted a very rare and aggressive form of cancer. So we spent the next 18 months, basically through September 91, in and out of hospitals all over the place, from Johns Hopkins through Morgantown and, you know, in the area, in the Western PA area. So that was a really tough time because I was 13, 14 years old. And at that time, you feel lonely anyway, and you're trying to figure out, you know, who you are and where you are. So the Pens in 91 and 92 were the bridge around that for me. So Mike Lang and Mario Lemieux made it okay. Mm-hmm. You know, they just gave me something to smile about. So Mike Lang will always be in the back of my head. And just to tie it back again, so we moved schools. My mom thought we kind of needed a new start. We only moved 10 miles away, so I moved school districts when I was in ninth grade in 92. And I kept getting called into the principal's office, and I didn't know him prior. I'd never attended the school there before. But he would come, and he would bring me in and just sit and talk. And so I have to, his name was Barbaro. So he knew the story. I didn't know him, but he kind of gave me a sounding board, and I really appreciated that. So if I have to say where I'm from and the people that jump into my head immediately who are non-athletes, it's Fred Rogers, Mike Lang, and John Barbaro. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just there's certain things that stick with you, and Pens for me will always be that. And Mike Lang was a huge part of that. My favorite saying before I go is, he doesn't know whether to cry or wind his watch. That's one
another
always,
one. I like smoked him like a bad cigar. That's a good one. Thanks, Ryan. Anyway, I appreciate the memory there. And I know that John Barbaro, when he passed away, Mario was, you know, and Mario was hurting because of that as well, because John had called all of his goals over the years. So he attended that ceremony, and sad moments, because these are, you're right, these are people who become fixtures in your sports environment and your attraction to the game. Mike in Wexford joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Mike. How are you? Mike? Well, Mike's not there. Let's try Jeff on line three. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Bob. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. So, listen, my little Mike Lang story goes back probably about 10 years ago. I was at PNC Park watching a Pirate game and went up to get a hot dog. It was kind of funny. I'm sitting there putting my toppings on my hot dog, and I see this older gentleman. He's got a dish of nachos, and he's just dumping jalapenos on top of it. I mean, a ton. And I'm watching him, and I get a smile on my face, and I look at him. I say, "Boy, he looks familiar." And I didn't want to, you know, bother him, but he looked up at me and grabbed that plate of nachos and all the jalapenos he dumped on top of it. And I said, "You like the jalapenos?" He said, "Nope, but the wife loves them." And as soon as I heard that voice, I knew who it was. And he smiled, he turned around and walked away. And I thought that was kind of funny, just running into him at the ballpark, you know. And
well, some people, you may not at first recognize, but you hear the voice and you know who it
is.
Yeah,
the iconic voice. That's right, Bob. And I just, it's going to be a fond memory of mine. And, course, listening to him, you know, do the games on the radio and on TV, I'll never forget it. And it is a sad day for Pittsburgh.
It certainly is. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your memories of Mike Lang. Want to remind you here, the Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Hotline is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And we're on the Fan Hotline right now, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 30 years. Back to that hotline, Dan in Churchill joins us talking about the late Mike Lang. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Pomp. How you doing?
Well, you know, could be better. I hated to hear this news late last night.
Yeah, but. No doubt. So a lot of people don't realize that Mike was huge into blues. And I used to see him out at least 3 nights a week at different bars. And he absolutely loved the blues.
I thought you said glues at first. I was going to say, what kind of the blues? He was a rhythm guy. There's no question. I mean, he loved music.
Yeah, in general.
Yeah, absolutely. And he would often look for places like that. I remember I joined him once at the, I think it was called the House of Blues or the Rhythm Blues. I forget where it is. The one down in Bridgeville. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the name. But I remember one time going in there, and he was really into it. So, yes, a lot of interesting hobbies.
And he kept to himself big time. He was a very, private guy when he was out.
But very approachable, too. I mean, if you went up to him, he would engage you and talk to you, and there would be no, don't bother me, none of that. But you're right.
I
mean, he just sat there as if one of just anyone else who's listening to music.
Yep, no doubt.
Thanks,
Dan.
Appreciate it. Okay. 412-928-9370. Steve is on line 5, and now he's live on the Fan. Hello, Steve.
Hey, is this Bob?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry. He called me Steve. I'm Jim from Arlington.
Oh, I'm sorry. It says Steve.
It's actually the Jim from Sheets. But
My man, Jim from Sheets.
Yeah, how you doing, Bob?
I'm good. How are you? And I know you're a big hockey fan, Jim.
Oh, yeah. So it's obviously a sad, sad day. I mean, love Mike Lang. Love him. I was calling. I can either tell him Mike Lang's story, or I'd like to ask what you guys know about this Four Nations is the first must see hockey game in forever. So,
well, I think again, even though there's a part of me I always don't like long delays in season, but the All-Star games have run their courses in all sports. I don't think people want to watch them anymore. They've changed it now into skills mostly, and it's getting to the point where it's become a dying situation there. So this coupled with the Olympics now, you're going to have alternate years of these different kind of showcases, I think is great for hockey, because whenever you involve countries, you certainly are going to include more people, and the passion that these players play with it just ramped up so much, and we've seen that already. So, you know, I imagine tonight will be one of the most watched hockey games, you know, probably in the last 10 years. And that probably would include some Stanley Cup games as well, depending on what series you're talking about. But
Absolutely. Depending on what team's in there, you know, like, I mean, sometimes you could care less, you know, like who wins at that point unless your team's out or whatever. But right.
A lot of people thought with this kind of thing that you would, you know, you interrupt the season. But what I would say, and this will never happen because they want more games, not less, but I would chop a few games off of the regular season to make way for this kind of stuff. But they're not.
I mean,
they're not going to do that.
Well, whatever they have to do, like that was my question. Is like, do you have any inside information as far as like who's in charge of this? Because like people have to be like, this is like must watch hockey. This is the most excited thing. So like, what are they going to do? Like, who's in charge of that? Make this happen again,
Jim. I think they need to expand, include Russia, Slovakia, Czech. All those nations that have great players,
absolutely.
You know, it's almost like a mini Olympics every year instead of the Olympics, you know, so they'll alternate. But you need more nations involved really to make it. But it's still, regardless, it's been fun to watch, and I know you're going to enjoy it tonight, Jim. So thanks, and I'll look forward to seeing you at Sheets and Robinson.
One of my hangs.
All right. Yeah. Take care, my man. Let's go to Jeff in Swickley. Wants to talk about Mike Lang. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, how you doing, Bob?
What's up?
I was listening to another station earlier, and they were talking about, you know, the early 70s when, you know, hockey wasn't, like, real huge in this town. And I can remember going to high school, going to games in the afternoon. You can shoot a cannon across the arena and not hit anybody. And I remember Jim Forney broadcasting games before Mike.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we've been blessed in this town. I mean, Mike was obviously first and foremost a hockey announcer in this town and across the nation. He was that recognized. But, I mean, we had Myron. We had Bob Prince. I mean, this town's been blessed with
yes, Bill Hillgrove, so many great, good voices.
Oh,
and
gosh.
People who...
I mean, yeah, Bill's still gone, you know. We're very lucky. I mean, I've been blessed to see 13 titles in this town, you know, where other cities haven't seen one.
Yeah, I know. And people get frustrated because there haven't been any lately, but you know, it's a cyclical game, sports, and no matter what you're talking about. Jeff, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Jim in O'Hara Township. Is that where you are, Jim?
It's in Omaha.
Oh, in Omaha. I wondered about them thinking, is that real Nebraska here? You're in Nebraska, and you've been hit by hockey.
Yes, and I'm from Western Pennsylvania, Johnstown, so I listen to you guys a lot. I appreciate you taking my call. Late 80s, played high school hockey, and we had a game in the Civic Arena and met Mike Lang. It was an off day, but he was there. I think he was at the club there for a little bit, but just so approachable and so, like, it was so nice to everybody that he saw that, you know, in my group. And really, really fun to meet him. And you always, rest of your life, you know, go forward and say, well, that's what that person's about, you know, and that's how they are. And I just watched some YouTube clips today, too, on how darn good he was, even, like, as a Pirates announcer in the late 80s.
Yes. People forget he did that, and he didn't miss a beat.
He certainly didn't. I mean, he was so sharp, and it was like, wow, this guy could do and announce anything and just be on top of the game. So I just want to throw that out there. I appreciate you guys taking my call. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim, and I appreciate your thoughts on Mike Lang and how he impacted so many people. And again, just to reiterate, it was before Mario Lemieux where hockey was really going nowhere. You know, they had some really special players here, but never, you know, the kind of team that later emerged after Lemieux was taken. And when you're bad enough, you get top picks. When you get a top pick, you can land big-time talent. And they did twice and won a lottery for the second one with Crosby. But before then, it was all Mike Lang. He made the game interesting for those who may not be interested. And he brought in more people to the game even before the Lemieux and Crosbys took over. But you can say in many ways, I mean, we were talking about Mario. He saved the franchise so many ways. But also, you know, Austin, I think Mike Lang saved hockey in a way that he still made it relevant to people even though they weren't that good of a hockey team in the 70s into the 80s.
There's no doubt about it. And we know that a big part of hockey is attendance and viewership and just having flat out relevancy to be able to keep the dream alive of being able to have a team, and which was on the ropes for so many years. And, you know, when you think of the pillars of the Penguins, it's obviously Mario and you think of Sid, but I mean, does Mike Lang fall third? Does he fall fourth behind Jágr? Like,
he's certainly up there. I mean, with all the elite players that have been here, for someone who does not skate, has not skated, but called everyone who was on those skates, yes, I think so.
What I really wonder, Bob, is like, did he have the biggest impact of any voice, any broadcaster in this city? Like, other than Myron Cope when the Terrible Towel, which has gone, you know, global. Mike Lang is definitely second. He might be the best in all of hockey for the most influential for their team.
I will be interested to hear what Doc Emmerich has to say about that. He's joining the PM team later today because he would know that and feel that. But yeah, Myron Cope was, part again, a face of a franchise before it really was, you know, the success that it was. And I think Mike Lang, you could certainly add him to that territory. Let's go out to Arnold Slick in Turtle Creek. It's actually Smitty in Turtle Creek. What's up, Smitty? How you doing?
Well, you took my thunder there, Bob. you know why I like that call, but in the early 70s, he was the one that got me into hockey. Going down to Civic Arena, like the other gentleman said, no one there, and sitting on a back porch, listening to the calls that he made night after night because there was no ESPN or anything like that. You had to listen to it on your old transistor.
Right. But remember the Night Owl Club? I used to always like that, yeah. The Night Owl. You'd have your radio in your bed and listen to the games on the West Coast.
Absolutely. And, Bob, and nothing to take away from Mr. Lang, but you were right up there, too. You're a good guy, good announcer, and it's always a pleasure to listen to you.
Thank you very much, Smitty. I appreciate that, and that's certainly high praise, and very appreciative to hear it. Ed is on line 4. Right here on the Pomp and Joe Show today. Hello, Ed. How are you?
Hey, Bob.
You have memories, I'm sure, of Mr. Mike Lang.
Yes. 1985, Point Park College. I was a senior in Jack Henry's sports reporting class.
I remember that class.
I was in a class with your brother, by the way.
Yeah.
And Greg Brown. And we had to do a story on our favorite announcer. And it was getting late. I was getting no response. So I had to call the arena, convince somebody to help me. And then Paul Steigerwald called me. What do you want? What do you need? And I told him, you know, I need the story. He takes my phone number. And Mike Lang calls my house to do the interview. Somebody who he had no idea who it was. And was never nervous as I could be. But he was a great man. And when I saw him at the outdoor hockey game back here in Pittsburgh, up in the press room, I thanked him, and he was just so gracious and just a great man and loved the Night Owl Club, and I taught him all that stuff. And
yeah, I think,
he was just so nice.
You hit a chord there, Ed. I think when he engaged with people, and he knew that his audience was very important to him. And so anytime he had a chance to, and this is a lesson I learned from him and others just like him, you know, whenever you have a chance to engage with people who are kind enough to listen to what you do, you honor them with that request. You know, you talk to them a little bit, and he always did that. No matter where he was, no matter whether it was out to dinner, out to grab something to drink, whatever the case may be, he was always engaging to people who came up to him. So thank you for that.
Thanks for your time, Bob.
All right, Ed. Yeah, I remember all those Point Park days. Yeah, and Greg Brown, who was in those classes, he'll be joining me coming up here in the next hour, and he has vivid memories, of course, of his friend Mike Lang. Let's go to Matthew in New York City. Hello, Matthew.
Bob, how are you?
What's up?
Hey, so I grew up in Greentree and was a massive Penguins fan. And in December of 1992, after the Penguins had won, you know, the two cups, I was celebrating my 21st birthday, and I was going all over the city with my brother and a bunch of my friends, and we end up in Dormont, and we end up in Slapshot. And we walk into Slapshots, and my buddy Dom, who knows I'm a huge Penguins fan, says, look who's sitting over there. And it was Mike sitting at the end of the bar. And he was just talking to the bartender and obviously talking about hockey. And I was like, oh, my God. And so my buddy, you know, takes the liberty, and he goes over and he says, hey, it's my buddy's 21st birthday. And Mike waves me over. And I sit at the bar with Mike on my 21st birthday, and we talk hockey for about an hour. And at one point, he lets me wear his Stanley Cup ring. I'll never forget it. But unfortunately, this was pre-cell phones, so there were no photos, there was no video, there was no nothing. And he said to me, this is pretty prescient, I said, "Ma, the Penguins are just going to cakewalk to their third straight Stanley Cup." And he said, "No, that's not true." He said, "Because there's one team in the Eastern Conference that scares me, and it's the New York Islanders."
Mm.
And I was like, "Oh,
how prophetic
my
that is."
When that came to fruition. So that was, you know, that was pretty amazing. But what he gave me was, and I was just telling my wife this, and it's somewhere in a box of keepsakes. He wrote on a napkin, on a bar napkin, he said, happy 21st birthday, Matt, Michael Motorcycle, your friend, Mike Lang. So I need to obviously, you know, pull that out and put it into a frame. But it was a great memory from a really important night. And man, the voice.
Too bad you didn't have a cell phone camera. That for granted now, but that could have been a perfect picture for you.
Yeah, there was none of that then. We didn't even have like those little disposable cameras. Nothing. It was just, it lives in our memories. We talk about it quite often. The way I celebrated my 21st birthday with Mike Lang.
That's pretty awesome. Matthew, thanks for the story. Appreciate that.
You're welcome, Bob. Thanks, man.
All right. So everyone in this area certainly has had some, whether it's exchange in person or memory of Mike Lang. And boy, you see that today. And all you need to do is look around, especially on social media, and see the amount of people who have just glowing words to say to realize how important he was for Pittsburgh and will always be in Pittsburgh. Foster Hewitt Award winner. One of the best broadcasters in the game, and man, a friend, somebody who was okay to talk about, to ask advice, and that's a good quality to have. And I know I try to bring that with me with whatever I can do for people as well, because that's a hand-me-down kind of situation, and Mike Lang was really good at it. All right, it is 11:25, and it's time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Also now, here's a reminder to you, call now to win two tickets to the Fan 15th Anniversary Party. It's going to be at Rivers Casino on February 26th from 6 to 9. So make sure you do that. And in fact, we're going to have, do you have more clips throughout the day that you're going to be playing? Or, Austin, I don't, you know, just to, because this covers 15 years. A lot has happened in 15 years, correct?
A ton has happened in 15 years. And I've been listening my entire life, which has been pretty awesome. Like, growing up, my dad is an avid listener of the Fan and always has been. Every time I'd go into the car with him, the Fan would be on. And that, it was always my dream to be here, you know, to get here.
And look at you.
So it's I live a dream every single day, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so there were some great moments. A lot of those will be replayed that night. I do remember that Legends for the Fan when we earlier played a clip of Mike Tyson, who was in town for that. But we had so many people. John Calipari came in for it. Dave Parker came in for it. We flew him in just for an hour at the Capitol Grill where we had those things. And it was fun to just talk, you know, not just about their sport, but their life, stories about their life, all of that stuff. And we did that, and you'll be hearing some of those as we go along.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Pompiani in today. Joe Starkey is out. It's the Pomp and Joe Show, and we have spent a lot of time and will continue to spend a lot of time on the life and legacy of the late Mike Lang, who passed away last night at the age of 76. And we've been talking to people who know him very well, who've worked with him, who've gotten to know him, are tremendous friends with him. And this next gentleman certainly has all of that and more. We're talking about Steve Blass, who is one of the best in the business at what he did as a pitcher, as a broadcaster. I would also say as a golfer with two hole-in-ones in the same round. We'll get to that later. But, Steve, I know this has to hit you hard, given how close you were to Mike Lang.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. You know, he's one of those special guys that we were lucky to have in Pittsburgh for all those years. You go over his broadcasting, though, his legacy as a professional. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame, all the things in that resume, and then you get to Bob, or you get to Mike Lang as a person. He really had time for everybody. That was one of the things I really learned from him early on. Whether there's a hockey fan, a baseball fan, or just wanted to say hello, he always had time, and he gave that beautifully, and I learned that from him. Learned so much about broadcasting because I didn't know what the heck I was doing when I first started. I talked over him all the time when we were doing cable games, and finally he put his hand gently on my arm and said, "Let it happen. Let the play happen. See, we can go crazy after." And he always called me Navin, like Navin Johnson from the movie The Jerk. He said, "Navin, you know, you ought to let the ball stop rolling before you start talking." He had those life lessons in broadcasting for me. But we had so much fun together. He did the cable games, and he always said that, I really could have got this baseball thing right if I had a couple more years. And, he originally came to Pittsburgh to do baseball.
Yes.
And we had two great, great years. I remember most of it. We did the cable games, him teaching me how to send my liver out to have it cleaned and pressed twice a month, too. we had so much fun. And I traveled with him, and he's just a really thoroughly decent person. He didn't seek the headlines and the fireworks. They came to him. But I think before all that happened, he had a foundation of being a really decent person. And I just loved him. And as he went on and on and got sick, I know he was sick for quite a while. I would call him up every once in a while when I had a joke for him. And I'm going to miss him terribly, but I speak for a lot of people when I say that.
No, I know you have stories too, and the Mike Lang roast was something that I'll always remember. In fact, most of it I should forget, but wasn't that that was an unbelievable night?
Unbelievable down in the strip, and it was just it was hilarious, I hope I remember most of it, but it was. It was raucous. It was irreverent. It was wonderful, and we all had such a great time. And as I think I remember, you had to go to back to work after it. And I prayed. I don't pray much. I prayed for you.
You're right, because I was not supposed to work that night. And I think it was Steve Talbot who got sick. And so okay. I was well into this roast, and I was well into being roasted, I suppose, my own way. And I thought to myself, what am I doing? I guess somebody's going to do this. And, you just get through it, and that's all the best you can do.
Absolutely. And I had days doing baseball games like that, day games after night games with Michael on the road. And even young Greg Brown, who was just adored Mike and was mentored so well by him. When Greg was just starting, he would do pre and post. So he started going on the trips with me and Mike. And it was like, it was like Larry Moe and Curly, the Three Stooges. But Greg learned a lot about a lot of things on the road and working with Mike. But he shared that with so many people. I remember getting calls when we're out on the road from young aspiring broadcasters. Could you talk to me for an hour, Mike? Could you give me some pointers? Could you help me out? And he always had time for those kind of young people just getting in the business. He was one of the best, Bob. And I can go on and tell you about the stories. No, I can't tell you some of those stories.
I realize that.
It was an honor being with him.
The thing that I'm sure you would appreciate is the fact that the meticulous nature of his work habits, and that's one thing that I remember more than anything is that I always, and I said this in the first hour we were talking, I went up to him once and he's sitting in the Civic Arena by himself with notes, but he's rewriting the notes in his own handwriting. And I asked him why. He said, because I learned this way. It's easy to read and gloss over it and not remember. I learn by writing, which is something I've taken with me every single day. I do stuff like that. So,
yeah, we all pick something up from him. And yeah, that you make a good point, because it seemed so effortless when you heard him, the pace and the flow of the way he delivered a game, and almost anticipatory that you felt a moment coming when he could set the stage. And that was part of that preparation. But when he got going, and the names and the cadence, he was just a joy to listen to and watch on the games. But especially good on radio, because he painted that picture just for a moment. You remember Sally O'Leary, the great PR guy for the Pirates? Well, she had an annual dinner up in Sheffield, PA, way up above 80. And I always remember driving home. It's a long drive in the dark, and Mike was doing a Penguins game, and he literally got me through the ride home. I looked up. Okay, I'm in Mount Lebanon, that close to home, because he just carried you along with him, and he was just so good. I'll always remember too. Greg Brown and I going up to his induction into the Hockey Hall of Fame, in Toronto, and we drove up, and unfortunately Greg and I didn't make the induction ceremony because we'd spent the previous evening with Michael celebrating in our own way.
I'm glad he made it at least, right? He had to make it.
He did perform, and we drove home kind of giggling. I said, "Wow, that was a nice trip. I wonder what it was about." But we wouldn't have missed it because he helped both of us. He helped Greg so much become a great play-by-play. In fact, he said, "You want to do this? Go do it somewhere in the minor leagues." And he went up to Buffalo, did football and baseball. So Mike Lang probably was the greatest influence career-wise in Greg Brown's life.
And the other thing that I'm sure Greg, we were talking about Mike getting his a lot of his sayings he would get from just regular people that he meet in a bar or at a rhythms club, blues. I'm sure Greg has the same stuff going on. And the story of the cannonball coming, didn't that come from somebody who, again, Greg met somewhere, he fine-tuned it and turned it into his own?
That's what, Mike picked those up constantly. At one point, somebody did for him, or he did it himself, commissioned it. He had a T-shirt, and I would, buy Sam a drink and his dog, too. Well, his character was Sam, and I was the dog. But he had them all, you know. And yeah, he did pick them up from guys he would meet, and he'd write them down on bar napkins or whatever. But it just added to the legacy that he fleshed stuff out like that. And there was always a little bit of a thread in all those sayings that he picked up that applied to a play or something in hockey. But the rest of it was hilarious, and it just was another trademark for him. It was fabulous.
Do you have a favorite one that you heard that you said, wow, that? And he did them at the right time, too. He didn't oversell them, and I think the key is not overselling them, because if you do it too much, then it becomes, okay, you're just throwing these things in here. He waited.
Yeah. The timing was perfect. You know, get in the fast lane, Grandma, because the bingo game's about to start. You know, and everybody remembers the Elvis leaving the building. And, you know, who knows? Maybe this will carry on after his passing. It's okay. Mike Lang has left the building, but it's okay.
Yeah, no question about that. And I believe, and I think it probably should have been done already. You know, we talk about iconic figures and statues, and sometimes we can overdo the statues. But in this case, I don't think it would be at all. I mean, because he took people and turned them into hockey fans when hockey wasn't popular here. That's hard
Absolutely.
To do. That's really hard to do.
Yep, they weren't playing well. They didn't have big names, and Mike Lang sold hockey. You're absolutely right. And I think I saw the number 46 years. Yeah, if there are other statues up in the city, then it would be appropriate and proper for Michael to have one. I would contribute to that fund for sure.
Oh, absolutely!
Yeah, he's such a great friend. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know you're going to miss him for sure, and all the conversations you had, but that's what you have memories for.
When
someone leaves this this earth, and we're going to miss him. And Steve, I just want to thank you for the time. I know you have some great stories, and I wish there were some you can say here that I know you can't, but people would love to hear them. And hopefully, we'll see you around soon. And thanks for joining us here today, talking about the late great Mike Lang.
Yeah. You and I will sit down and we'll go over them chapter and verse. I promise, Bob.
I look forward to that. Yes. Thank you, Steve.
All right. My pleasure. Take care. Yeah. Bye.
Steve Blass, one of the best. And I'm serious. Of all the storytellers I've heard in Pittsburgh, he's one of the best. He retains these things and he will tell you, and he knows how to deliver them. And man, the stories he has about Mike and just their relationship and how it grew and the moments in the booth, you know, those are iconic moments. And one helps another. And, you know, he was trying to do baseball. I think he was good enough to do baseball. He always said, I need more time. But, I mean, if you listen to some of the calls he made, I think he was right there. I remember when Bob Prince, Austin, was trying to do hockey. Now, that was a different story. Like, the Gunner was great. And the Gunner was another one of those just iconic figures because of, you know, kiss it goodbye and all these other things. But he tried to do hockey once, and it wasn't as smooth as maybe he would have liked.
No, and I know that you've bounced around and done a lot of sports. Out of the four sports, more than that, but the main four sports that I've had a chance to call, I don't know if you share the sentiment, I found hockey to be the hardest, like by far the hardest.
You got to be like an auctioneer.
Yeah.
You know, you have to just keep going. And sometimes you go 15 minutes without a break, and I just keep going and know everybody on that ice surface. And it's amazing. But he had a way of doing it. Everyone's different, and you can take what you can take from other announcers, but I mean, more than anything, his passion and his dramatic buildup for when he sensed something was about to happen, and he knew it. And you can tell it in the voice, especially on radio before he did television. I mean, well, that was the thing that certainly, you know, set him apart from everyone else. So we have more memories coming up. Jay Caulfield will join us at the top of the hour. Greg Brown will join us in the bottom of the hour. And I know Greg was as close to Mike as, you know, anyone. He and Steve got to know him and continued a relationship that went well into, you know, decades. So we'll talk to both of those guys coming up. And we also want to hear from you. And I know I'll squeeze one call in because I've been asking for people to give us your Mike Lang stories. Let's go to Pete and Butler here before we take a break. Austin, what's up, Pete?
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Sure.
And it's a pleasure to speak to you. You're certainly a gentleman with a sports role, just as Mike was. And just want to say, you know, I was about 11 years old, knew nothing about hockey. This is like back in 1981. And it was listening to a transistor radio under my covers when I should have been asleep and hearing Mike Lang for the first time. And as soon as I heard him, I was hooked. And it's because of him I got interested in hockey. I learned hockey along with him. And that's back in the days when they had barely anything on TV. And so that was just a pleasure to have him get into my radio and get into my ear.
So you were part of the Night Owl Club. I remember doing that too. And you're right, transistor radios, that's what you had. Sometimes the signal would go in and out, but, you know, you'd listen when the Penguins were taking on, for example, the California Golden Seals back in the day, right? And
that's right.
And you'd have that thing in your bed. That's awesome. Favorite saying?
I appreciate the show today.
All right. Thank you, Pete. I appreciate that at 412-928-9370. Let's go to Don in the South Hills. Don has a memory of Mike Lang. What's up, Don?
Oh, not a lot. Just out working. But to be honest, I never knew hockey existed in Pittsburgh until the late 70s when I was driving back from a job. I was in Coriopolis driving to Penn Hills every night and turned on the game, and he just molded my whole hockey career.
Yeah, no question about that. That's what I'm talking about. Before they were a good team, you had to somehow get people to tune in and watch or listen, specifically listen. Uh-oh.
Oh, without question. He made me love the game. He taught the game. And he brought more and more fans into the game.
That's a good point you made, Don, and thanks for the call. One of the things he told me always was about never underestimate explaining things to what could be a new audience. You don't know who's tuning in for the first time. It's a good lesson for you too, Austin, is to remind people of what has happened, set a scene, and he would always describe their jerseys on radio. And okay, Penguins decked out in their black and gold, Capitals in their traditional white jerseys, whatever, moving left to right. And then he would double down on rules. You know, and if there's a rule, even though you knew it, even though you're listening to him and you know the rule, there are some people who may not know the rule. He would get into great detail about that.
Yeah, no doubt. Don't assume, don't assume that somebody listening just automatically knows that. And your job is to be a storyteller.
Right.
And that those explanations are a big part of the story.
One more before we go to break. That would be Larry in Brentwood. What's up, Larry? How are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. You're kind of like the same demographic as myself, and I've been a Penguin fan, it seems like, forever. I remember those early 70s when you were going from Forney to Starkey, and then you would have Mike Lang for a year, so then he was gone. Well, I remember vividly, I was stationed in Charleston, South Carolina, and I think they may have been on TAE or KQV, but whatever, they went back to KDKA, which my friend and I, Joe, was like a godsend, because late at night games from the coast, Vancouver, L.A., and at that time, I guess the Rockies had just come in, you could listen to them clear KDKA in mm-hmm. Charleston.
Yeah, it had a big signal, absolutely. Yep.
And the vivid pictures that he would paint, you could in your mind see that game. And we would drive in the car in the parking lot trying to get the best reception possible at 11:30, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and screaming like little girls if they would score in his descriptions of it. It was just he was one of a kind. He'll really be missed.
Well, thank you for the memory, Larry. We appreciate that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.